Okay, ladies and gentle people, you're about to literally listen to a podcast that is going to assist you in breaking free from the autopilot life so that you are able to create life on your terms. The incredible, amazing Ray Higdon is going to smack you upside the face and give you a gorgeous hug on the Happy Million Show this week. You're going to absolutely love it. Tune in. Here we go.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Hey, and a massive, massive, massive pal, Liz Benny here. And oh my gosh, I'm so very, very, very excited to have Ray Higdon with us today. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'm really, really excited. For those people listening, I hope you can hear my excitement. For those people watching, you'll be able to see that I'm really bouncing out of my seat for this one. Ray and I have been trying to get this podcast arranged for a good period of time, and we've known each other for a good period of time. We've swung around and some similar circles, and I'm just so excited to have you here, Ray. For those of you that don't, or for the people listening and watching right now that don't really know you, how would you describe yourself in 5 words to people?
In 5 words?
Yeah, isn't that hard, huh?
Okay.
Five words or phrases. I'll make it easier for you. 5 words or phrases. Let's go.
Okay. A former workaholic that struggled with presence who's now full of joy. That's like, what, 8?
Okay. That was great. So I was saying, a former workaholic, you are an incredible husband. You are an inspirational keynote speaker for hundreds of thousands of people around the world. You're a dad as well. What would be one other descriptive there? You're a dad.
Oh, I see. You're saying 5 points. You said 5 words. I'm like, and an avid, I'm a father of 4, like you said, been married now 10 years, and avid meditator, big on meditation.
Nice. That is amazing. So given the fact that the premise of the show is all about helping high achievers, helping millionaires, helping people build businesses and lives they absolutely love, I know that you've had some struggles along the journey, along the way, and you haven't perhaps always had a business that you love. What would be something that comes to your mind to share with people straight out of the gates right now? If they're hating their business and they've got a business that they just hate, they're just, and maybe it's making a crap ton of revenue, what would you say to that person to fix the fulfillment problem that they're having, as in they sense a lack of fulfillment?
First, it would be become aware of your patterns and become aware of how you feel about you. So I was a workaholic, but I was a workaholic because that was my coping mechanism with not wanting to be with me, and not trusting to be personal with anybody. And I've since uncovered the reasons for all these different things, the reason that I kept everyone at bay. You know, I would speak on stage and keynote and then go back to my hotel room and hide. I mean, I remember the year I spoke at Funnel Hacking Live. I don't think I've ever shared this. I don't think so. But when we were all in the room, like about to go inside, I started hyperventilating. And I went back to my hotel room and I called a coach. I'm like, man, you got to help me out, man. I'm freaking the freak out. And so like it's discovering your patterns and discovering your emotions and know that you can create anything that you want, but right now you're on autopilot. That's why you've created a life that isn't creating joy and fulfillment. It's because you're on autopilot, and that autopilotness is typically based on observations you made as a kid. Mm-hmm.
So I love that we've gone here straight away. Love it. it is my favorite, because I personally believe that one of the fastest paths to building a business and a life that you absolutely love is to get rid of your past trauma, is to understand how you tick. And often it's how you're ticking is nothing to do with how you're actually consciously thinking. It's stuff that, as you say, happened as a child. So my wife Christy and I have both recently gone through some incredible trauma release therapy with a modality called TRTP, which Tony Robbins actually now endorses, which is amazing. And you've walked a trauma release path too, correct?
Yes, quite a few different things. Yeah. You know, hypnosis. You know, I've had a little bit. One mentor was doing tapping and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've also done like emotional trapped emotion releasing.
Yeah. So how many trapped emotions did you have? I remember it was up in the 400s or something, wasn't it?
So I have the record of my coach, and that's 1,906. And I don't think she's ever met anyone that's over like 500, I think. And I was 1,906. And so, but I mean, like 1,000 of those were before age 6.
Yeah.
You know? So, grew up in a very abusive home, up until the age of 12. And, you know, that was the foundation of the conclusions I drew to humanity and what created the autopilotness and the reluctance to, to connect with myself or allow others to connect with me on any kind of personal level. Like if you want to talk business, sure, no problem. But as soon as it's not business, that's where I used to really freak out.
Yeah. And then how did that transpire? How did that come out in terms of your relationship with your children? Was that difficult at times with being that you weren't aware of that? And I mean, did you on autopilot create some situations as a dad that were sort of hard? And have you seen a difference post release of these emotions?
Well, first, I didn't know how to be a dad. Yeah. And because I don't remember one time my dad playing with me. I don't remember a hug. I don't remember an I love you. I don't remember anything from that. Now, could that be blocked? Could be, but I don't think it happened much. Mm-hmm. And so I have, you know, 4 kids. I have a 24-year-old, a 22-year-old, and now a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. Uh-huh. And so with my, you know, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I don't think there was more than 30 minutes that I was present with my older kids when they were growing up. Mm-hmm. And I was always having to do something. I was always busy or having to work or, you know, I was working 3 jobs and, you know, I was having to do things. And that trend, unfortunately, was continuing up until, I would say, you know, 2, maybe 3 years ago when I started unwinding some of my, you know, patterns and my emotional addictions and the source of why I was on such autopilot. And so now, and my wife is, you know, she's like, wow, I never knew how great you could be. Like, she's mm-hmm. like, I always thought you were great, but oh my God, it's like night and day. And so like, it's, you know, that's just for, as a man, that's such a wonderful, you know, thing to hear. So now, I mean, I'll play with the kids for hours and no phone in sight, no, you know, distracted. I got to do something. And so life has absolutely changed so, so amazingly in that regard.
Dude, wow.
Yeah.
Broke the cycle. So that is amazing. That is amazing, amazing, amazing. Like, there are a lot of people that follow both of us who are building businesses as parents, as step parents. What would you say to a parent right now who is not making the money that they want to be making? Maybe they're at 50 grand a month and they want to be at 100 grand, or they're at 100 grand and they want to be at 1 million. You know, we all have our capacity. Sure. So they're not where they want to be financially, and they know that they can do more. Yet things at home aren't quite right as well. What might you say to them to help them get both of those?
Yeah. So it's, you know, the key to really everything, just everything, is emotional mastery and just, you know, understand, like, I don't put really anything as chasing specific word, the future, because the problem with the future is it's always the future. And so, and I remember the first time I saw, you mentioned Tony Robbins. First time I saw Tony Robbins, he helped me realize something. He helped me realize that I was going from goal to goal to goal to goal to goal to goal to goal, and absolutely zero joy, zero fulfillment. I remember, you know, my first $1 million year, then my first $1 million month, my first $1 million weekend, and none of them made me feel better.
Yeah.
So my workaholicism and my lack of presence, anything outside of work, was a coping mechanism. And I was trying to make Ray feel better. And I thought, well, if Ray has more accolades and more awards and trophies and recognition and, you know, razzle dazzle, then I'll feel better. But it just didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, if you wanted to plant a bunch of trees and you start collecting banjos, they're just not compatible. It makes sense. So you can have as many of these things as you want, and it's never going to translate to I feel better about myself. And so I think, you know, one of the critical moments for me was two and a half years ago. My wife and I, we were at a charity event, and we were trustees of that charity. At that point, I think I may have been on the board. I'm not sure. And someone came up, and one of our friends came up to us and said, "Hey, did you see the trip to Belize?" And I'm like, "No." And she's like, "Oh my God, it looks amazing. It's five couples only. It's a private island, private jet, private yacht, private chef. It's going to be amazing." And my wife is like, "Ooh," like she's, you know, fired up. And me, that sounded like hell.
Yeah.
Like it sounded like absolute hell to me. And I didn't know why, but I'm just like, "Oh, great." I'm like, "Hope we don't win it." And on the way home, I'm driving and I just kind of look at my wife and, you know, I'm always wanting to be a better husband. I'm always wanting to be a better man. And, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me? Like humans should be excited for that, right? The privateness and the this and the that, like, what's wrong with me? And so I started working on it and I'm like, what caused this? And through hypnosis, my friend, Elliot Rowe, I don't know if you know him, but you should know him. He's awesome. He coaches a lot of poker players, a lot of MMA fighters. Like he's a wild dude. And in a hypnosis session, he helped me remember, because I totally forgot this. In the third grade, my teacher knew that there was something off and had me start meeting with the guidance counselor. So I start meeting with this guidance counselor and I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm just, you know, sharing. And she's like, "Well, you know, like how's home? And like, what happened this weekend?" And I start trusting her and feeling, you know, because I didn't get to talk to anybody. I wasn't allowed to go to people's houses. No one was allowed to come over. When I came home from school, I had to stay outside until it was dark. Then I had to go to my room by myself and just sit there until they went to sleep. And, you know, and then every morning was waking up by being thrown against a closet. And so I'm telling her some of this stuff and it feels nice to talk to a human, someone that's actually listening to me. Then one day I show up for our appointment and there's my dad, there's my stepmom who was the abuser. And there she is, and she proceeds to tell him every story I've ever told her because she thought it was too outrageous and that I really needed, it was a cry for help and I needed more attention at home. And I know, you know, I'm not mad at her. She was doing what she thought was right. But that's the day, number one, very bad day. But number two, that's the day I stopped trusting anybody.
Yeah.
So at that point, the one person in my life that I'd shared stuff with totally betrayed me. And so that set a pattern of just looking for betrayal everywhere I went. And so that was the first major unlocking of my personality. And that's what for the most part eliminated social anxiety. And so there was really two major unlockings. That was the first one.
Dude, now you were already quote unquote successful in business at this point in time. You'd made millions at this point in time. What is the difference for how your business feels now in terms of how you show up as a leader to your team and how you show up as a leader to, you know, your community now that trust thing has been unlocked and I guess healed?
So one, I'm totally cool actually hanging out with people, where I just couldn't do it. And by me sharing my journey, you know, there's my life, and I, you know, this probably happened maybe a year ago, but my life is really ran now by two mantras, and that is help the person you used to be, and we have to be as brave as the people who need us. So I do a lot of speaking and a lot of work with kids in foster care. Now, I was never in foster care, but they can identify with my story. And so I share, you know, and they see that, oh, here's someone that went through something similar to me and has become successful. And so, you know, last year we bought 800 toys for kids in foster care that otherwise would not have gotten a toy. And we do that to make us feel good, right? And so it's just a different scenario, because before I was just hustle harder, grind, work hard. And there's two kind of things that have happened. Is one, I've figured out joy, and I've figured out how to actually be happy versus just acquisition mode all the time. And number two, I've also learned that by emotional mastery, you also can manifest anything that you want. And so, emotions are so important for you to get off autopilot and become aware of, but it's also the key, the ingredient for manifestation as well. So I'd like to think that the training is really up-leveled and people have seen my transformation and maybe gives them hope.
Oh, this is just juicy, beautiful stuff. Thank you so much. Now, have there been any times in your life where, I know we spoke about this a little bit, let's lean into the times in your life where things have felt a lot dark in your adult life, where you've perhaps gotten to the point where you've nearly given up or you have given up. What would you speak to, or how would you speak to a person right now who is at the end of their emotional tether? They've still got some room to move financially. They've got support systems around them, but they're at the end of their emotional tether. What would you say to them?
Yeah. Well, first, what I've come to learn is that, you know, emotions are the drivers of our subconscious, which is the co-creator of our reality.
Yes.
And so reality out there, and you're probably hearing the kids, reality,
I love the kids in the background.
Reality out there is a slow moving mirror reflection of what's in here. And so it's not a, hey, I change a belief and all of a sudden, you know, boom, you know, the color changes out there. But it also points out that a lot of people, they're trying to change out there. So, you know, in the morning, so tomorrow morning, I'm probably going to shave. I'm not going to spray the mirror with shaving cream and run my razor on it, because that would make no damn sense. But that's what a lot of people are doing. They're trying to get the reflection to change. It's their thoughts and beliefs and emotions that have created the reflection. Mm-hmm. And so know that if you have to understand whatever emotion you're holding on to, depression, anger, guilt, shame, resentment, happiness, joy, you have to get more of that. Because your subconscious doesn't understand that you don't know how powerful you are. And so one thing I heard in a very little known Napoleon Hill thing, it was a master course he did live. And he said, hey, when you're having a down emotion, when you're having negativity, quickly shift and write down what are the 10 things you want in your life. And so if you hold on to the mantra of help the person you used to be as brave as people who need us, then shift your emotions first and start to look at, okay, what is it that I actually want and what would actually make me feel good, and start focusing more on that, and know that you can completely change your life by doing that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know that, you know, if you're hearing this, then you're meant to hear this, and you're meant to go out there and make a difference and make an impact. But you have to first understand that your emotions are, they don't own you. Right? You're not your emotions. You're the master of your emotions, and you can become the master of your emotions. And when you do that, you can completely change your life.
Gosh, I love this. So what are some of your favorite transformational stories that you've seen in your community where somebody has been in a really horrible, non-ideal, you know, situation, And then what is the transformation that they walk through, and what's the reality for them out the other side right now?
Yeah. So I'll give you two come to mind. They just popped in. So I'm thinking I'm supposed to share them. Mm-hmm. So we have a book, Time, Money, Freedom. And in this book, we used to shove golden tickets in there. And if someone got one with a golden ticket, they got a 10-minute coaching call with me. And so I get on this 10-minute coaching call with this lady, and she tells me for the last 4 years, she's been stuck at, you know, this certain amount, making the same amount, you know, per month. And so she's like, no matter how hard I try, I'm just stuck in the same amount. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she used the words, I just don't want to disappoint anyone. And so I know I only got 10 minutes, right? So I jump right in. I'm like, well, who disappointed you as a kid? And she said, well, you know, maybe not disappointment, but shame. And I'm like, fair enough. Like, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, my mom was a prostitute. And I'm like, okay. So at this point, because I've done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, I kind of think I know what's going on, but I'm like, okay. Do other people know this? Like, do your friends know this? Do family members? She goes, oh yeah, they all know. And she's still alive. I'm like, got it. I'm like, I know what your problem is. And she goes, what's my problem? I said, your problem is you have a subconscious belief that if you reach a certain level and you start getting more recognition, that's going to bring out the local people, and they're going to try to bring you down on social media, which will bring shame to your living mother, and you would do anything to prevent that. And she's like, oh my God, I've never thought about that. And, you know, she starts crying. And I said, but the reality is your mom did everything she possibly could and a lot of things that she didn't want to for you to have a better life. So it's kind of a smack in the face for you not to do that. And she went from fourth in her sales thing, she went from 4,000 volume to 93,000 volume in, I think, 2 months. Dude. And she had never gone above, I think, 5,000.
Yeah.
And so when we identify, you know, what is that thing that's holding me back? What is the program? Because the program gets set based on an observation made as a kid. And so you make this observation, program is set, and you can forgive people all day long. The program's still the program, and the program hides from you. It makes you forget things. It is there for one reason. That's to keep you safe, to prevent you from feeling the feelings you had in the past. Mm-hmm. Another story, I was coaching this on Clubhouse. And so I can't see her face, right? We're just talking. And I said, her pattern was, you know what? I start this career and I race up the top and I crush it. I'm one of the best producers of all time. And then, you know, lo and behold, I figure something out about the company and the people and their, you know, bad people. And so I get the heck out of here and I start all over again. I'm like, okay. And I said, tell me about your parents. Like what was your relationship with them? And she goes, oh my God, they were perfect. They were model. They've never, no trauma, no abuse, no nothing. They were incredible, amazing. And so I just kind of got the impression that she was a contrarian. So contrarians, I usually kind of trick. And I said, it's okay if you don't remember anything about it. We could figure this out in another call or something. And she goes, and I'm like, hello, are you there? So like I think like 2 minutes of silence goes by, because again, this is Clubhouse. I can't see her. I'm like, are you all right? Everything okay? Like, I'm thinking car crash. Like, what has happened here? Uh-huh. And she said, I just remember catching my mom cheating on my dad.
Yeah.
And so I said, got it. I know what the problem is now. She goes, well, what the heck does that have to do with my career? I said, well, you had this idyllic childhood. Everything was amazing. You were feeling really, really good. And your reality was crashed. Your reality, the rug was pulled out from under you. You had no control and you were absolutely devastated. And so now, as soon as you start feeling good about something, you take control. And you're the one leaving. And everyone's wondering, like, what she left? She was amazing, right? But you don't ever want the rug pulled out from under you and you have no control anymore. So you're in control. But the problem is you're not. Your program's in control. You're on autopilot. And so, you know, you're just being driven around, you know, and you wait until you feel good. And that's the trigger that I better get the heck out of here. And since then, I don't know her numbers or anything, but I know she's a hell of a lot happier.
Well, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, happiness is so freaking important. Dude, oh my gosh, it is such a blessing to speak with someone right now that is so clearly and articulate. Whatever the word is.
Articulative? Is that the word?
I don't even know. Let's just pretend.
I don't either.
I can't. Articulately. There we go.
Okay.
The irony is that I couldn't say articulately. Articulately. Okay. And that's fine. It is what it is. My dyslexia had some fun right then. That's cool. So it's so beautiful to hear you speak around. Like, you are going a mile deep on this topic of subconscious programming and the connection between how you are programmed and your ability to make a fortune, how you are programmed and how you lead your family, how you are programmed and, you know, your fortune, your friends, your fun, your fitness, like all of that. See, I believe that life is all about the perfect effing balance. And don't worry, for those of you that are listening, I mean, in terms of faith, family, friendly, you know, all of the Fs. And dude, you've just so beautifully brought it together because I feel like, I don't know about you, I feel like there are a lot of very unconscious people walking around and they are at the whim of what they think their life should be because of what, you know, their company says or what, you know, their community says or what their religion says and what social media says and all that sort of stuff. And people are constantly feeling bad and small and not enough. Because the programming is, hey, this is happiness. This is what you should have. Yet they are so far from any of that. Anything else that you feel called to say along the lines of success and happiness and subconscious mind stuff right now?
Yeah. Two really common ones, like programs that I've seen is if you had successful parents, but they ignored you, it's extremely likely that you'll sabotage how much money you make because you, there's a program that says, well, if you make too much, you're going to ignore your kids like your parents did you, and you don't want anyone to feel that way. And so that's a really common one with people who struggle with consistency. Like they'll start and then it's not that they're lazy. It's that there's a danger program that's preventing that. The second thing, which is, it's really interesting, but if you ever run into someone who struggles with recognition, like they're like, oh, I don't want to be on stage, or I don't. So they'll keep themselves floating under the radar so they don't reach some mega level. 100% of the time they had siblings and they were usually the praised one, right? So what happens is as a kid, if you're like, why aren't you more like your sister? How come you're not? And so this program gets set up, oh, when I get recognized, someone else gets harmed. When I get recognized, someone else is hurting. And so that carries with them their whole life. So any recognition is someone's going to hurt if I get recognized. No, thank you. So they'll limit, they'll leave companies, they'll change careers. If they start to float above that, I'm going to harm someone. And there's no reality to that. But that's just the program keeping them nice and safe.
Dude, I get it. I personally had survivor's guilt. Weird to say, survivor's guilt after I made my first $1 million because there were a lot of people in the community going, oh my gosh, she did it. Okay, I'm following the exact template and it worked for you, but it's not working for me. And I was like, ah, and they were like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I'm just being me. And I was like, well, I can't teach people how to be me, but I can teach them how to be them. But right. I actually do remember that feeling of, holy crap, my success feels uncomfortable. So I've had to do a lot of healing around that because you can easily plateau yourself.
Yeah.
With your programming. Do you feel, Christy and I, my wife Christy and I have had lots of conversations around the subconscious mind. And I remember a couple of years ago, we were like, you know what? The fastest path to getting to the next level that we want is going to be amazing. And I'm not just talking financially, by the way. I'm talking impact. I'm talking worldwide yam, worldwide kapow. And we were like, the fastest path really and truly is to hack the subconscious mind. Like, let's just go deep as possible into the subconscious mind and let's hire a person that can help us program ourselves for the way that we want our lives to show up. Do you feel like this is a new industry that is really starting to wake up right now?
It's interesting because I don't know. I haven't seen like trends or something. I talk about it all the time. Mm. But if you go back, look at Neville Goddard. I mean, Neville Goddard in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Seriously, one of the greatest mindset. I put him above all mindset trainers nowadays. Like, I just think he's absolutely incredible. And his message was so simple. I mean, The Feeling is the Secret is a 40-minute audible, and it tells you exactly how to use the subconscious to manifest whatever the heck you want. Mm-hmm. And there's nuances. I've learned little, tricks here and there, but I call that, perspective, right? So perspective is the speed quotient. That's what moves you from mule to magician. So the mule will just hustle, grind, and do more inner intention stuff. And the magician is seeing the world as they want it to be, and they're vibrationally incongruent with their current results. See, most people are vibrationally congruent with their results. So they're constantly describing them, mad about them, telling other people about it, sharing why they're there, telling it like it is, that keeps it like it is. And so you become vibrationally incongruent by you start seeing yourself living, like Joe Dispenza says, live more in memories of your future than memories of your past. And I'll give you my favorite example around this that has nothing to do with money, but I think anyone that ever listens to this story, they can relate with it. If we have time.
We totally do. Let's go. Okay. I was just wanting to respect your time. Yep. Let's go.
A year and a half ago, I got ballroom dancing lessons for my wife and I. Our 10-year anniversary was last year, and I wanted to, spend time with her. Didn't know what it would lead to or anything like that. And so we get these ballroom dancing lessons, and I am just terrible. I mean, I'm just horrible. They're like, so, Ray, do you hear the rhythm? It goes da doom da da doom, it goes, it's like a downbeat. Ray, were you in an accident? Like, do your hips move? Like, do this for me. And I'm like, and I'm like Frankenstein. I'm out there stomping. They're like, can you drag your toe gently? I'm like, I'm like a barbarian. I'm like a Viking out there. And I know this is true, by the way. This is not me projecting. So 4 months in, I'm doing two classes a week. There's a guy that he has a lesson right after me. And he got in there early, and he's a new guy too. And he's lacing up his shoes and watching me. And when I finish, he rushes over to me, goes, oh my God, I'm so glad I came in. I feel so much better. I'm like, thanks. Thanks for that. But you know what? I needed that. I needed that kick to the head. And so I went home that night and I'm like, I know all this mindset stuff, and I'm showing up like a Neanderthal. Like, I'm just a slave to my reality. No dancing here. And so I decided that night I'm changing it. Like, we change it. We're going to be a good dancer. And so every night, like for quite a while, every night before bed, I would see myself as a good dancer. And the two most important questions is, how would that feel? And how would I know it's true? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's kind of a hack to better create the emotions. And so I started, how would it feel? It'd feel great. I'd feel confident. I'd feel awesome. I feel like a good representation for my wife, because, by the way, she's great at everything she ever does. So she's twirling and just like, and so she's perfect at everything she ever does all the time. It's amazing. And so I started seeing myself as a better dancer, and I asked the question, how would I know it's true? Well, I would know it's true if it was true, then people would give me compliments. What would they say? And so I saw my dance instructor, Victoria, I saw her say, wow, impressive. I saw the dance studio owner, Irina, who's Russian. She's very tough. And I saw her say, very much improved. And so I held on to this. How would that feel? I would feel great. This is awesome. I go in and I tell the instructors, I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I've been living in my past and present. And as of right now, I am a better dancer. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, imagine hearing that. You're like, no, you're not. Right. And so question is, did I still misstep? Yes. Did I still offbeat? Yes. Did I still make mistakes? Yes. I just didn't notice them. I just didn't pay attention. I didn't dwell on them. I didn't. 4 days later, I do a move. Victoria says, wow, impressive. Same class. I do a salsa move. Irina says, very much improved. Verbatim, what I created in my head.
Dude.
And so fast forward, in the end of last year, my wife and I competed at an international event in Miami. We came in first place in salsa and cha-cha. And the instructors told me, they're like, you know, we got to be honest, Ray. Like, you really weren't progressing. And then all of a sudden, one day, you just like skyrocketed. So that must have been the day you started practicing at home. It wasn't. I didn't increase my practice. I only spent a minute, 2 minutes a night seeing myself as a better dancer and stopped noticing my missteps. I didn't go to 3 classes a week. I stayed at 2 classes a week. So I did the same work, but mine, she said, it was crazy. Like, you just got so much better, so much faster. And so that gave me like, wow, what else can I do? And so I started doing that for keynote speeches, right? I started doing it for clients. I started doing it for all kinds of stuff. And so now I manifest crazy, crazy stuff. And it's awesome because I know the formula.
Dude, wow. What an amazing story. What an amazingly simple story.
Yeah.
I mean, just wow. Just wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So you are amazing in my
Thanks.
Book.
Thanks. You are too.
Absolutely freaking amazing. You are a beacon of hope to many, many, many people who have had incredibly horrible trauma as kids and who have been programmed, you know, far the wrong way for them to have the ideal life that they seek. Yet you're here and like business is booming and you've got, you know, you're traveling around, you're doing keynotes, you're living what most would be like, holy crap, if I could just get like maybe a tenth of that would be amazing. But with that said, like, you are not comparing yourself to them. You're comparing yourself to, I guess, your future self. So what's on the horizon for you? Where are you going? What are you focused on building for yourself next?
So I have two types of, I don't know if this is exactly what you're asking, but I think it'll work. So I have two types of visualization. So I visualize every night before bed. And so everyone has at least one or has one push of the manifestation button every day. And that's before you go to bed, because that's when your subconscious kicks in and it sets up the rest of your days. And so now if you're a meditator, you get a couple because you can go into different brain waves. But every night before bed, I do one of two things. Either I have a 10-year conversation in the future with someone on all that I've accomplished, or if I have an event coming up, I have a conversation with someone a week from now.
Yeah.
And so a way to trick the brain, because you can't have things in the future because they'll always be in the future. Yep. And so the way to trick it is to have a future conversation, but about things that have already happened. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for example, so this Saturday, I'm speaking at a thing called PodFest. 1500 people, be pretty cool, doing the keynote on Saturday. And I've already had conversations with people a week out on how it got me 3 more stages, 3 more clients. And it was absolutely amazing. And so many people were super cool. And I've already had that conversation. Now, 10 years out, you mentioned the Fs. So I do faith, family, finance, fitness, fun. Mm-hmm. Right. And do you know Satyen?
Hmm?
Do you know my friend Satyen Raha? He taught me that.
Oh, but I'd love to.
Oh, okay. He's awesome. And so like, I will 10 years. So my, if I don't have an event coming up, I'll have a 10-year conversation with a friend and I'm running to them on the streets of Italy. And they're like, oh my God, Ray Higdon, I haven't seen you in so long. You got to catch me up. And they're really nosy. They want to know all the intricate details. And so, you know, I go through how I'm guided spiritually and I'm so connected to source and I feel so wonderful about myself and my faith and my family. Oh my God, my wife and I, you know, we have such a close relationship. She's a nymphomaniac, but you know, other than that, no, I do say that. My kids, I have such an amazing relationship. We're so close. We travel together. Finances. Oh, I mean, the company broke $100 million. And, you know, the fact that we're impacting so many kids in foster care, the fact that we're doing this and that and this, I label out and I'm speaking for Tony again. So anything I say has to be in the past. Okay. Has to already have been accomplished. And then I go through, you know, fitness. Yes, I finally got my six pack abs. I'm feeling fantastic. Fun. My wife and I play tennis all the time. We dance all the time. We have so much fun together. And so I go through and I talk about all those different things. I talk about, you know, building hazard houses for foster care, which is very, very needed, because the way that DCF handles kids now is if there's a traumatic event, mom is stabbed or whatever, they basically say, hey, we got some kids here, and DCF starts calling to see who can take them. And a lot of times they're split up. Sometimes the kid is sitting in the cubicle hearing them be rejected by 30 people they don't know, and they don't know what's going on with their mom.
Wow.
And so like a hazard house is where the cops would know, take the kids there first, because there's clinicians there, there's psychologists there, there's teddy bears, there's pajamas, there's, you know, it's a well-stocked, it's not the system, which is unfortunately what a lot of foster care is. So that's something that's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, building out that vision of proving it here in this city, then proving it in other cities. So I have this big, you know, these things that I discuss in this 10-year, you know, conversation. And those are things that absolutely I've already experienced having, you know, because some people say, well, if you set these humongous goals and you set these, well, what if they don't happen? Won't you be disappointed? How could I? I've already felt it.
Yeah.
I've already seen the looks on the kids' faces.
Yeah.
I've already felt in my heart it's accomplished. So what do you mean? I can't be disappointed. What do you mean? And that's the level you have to get to, is you have to feel it as it has happened, it'll sure feel cool when. That is crap, because it'll always be in the future. It'll always be just outside of your reach. And so you got to feel it as if it's happened.
Oh, okay. This is gold. I really hope people listening and watching right now are like, oh my gosh, let me just journal all this out. Let me pull the car over and let me write this down or re-listen to this 50 times. This is gold. Like, if people just listen to this, this is the pathway to true inner success, happiness, health, wealth, all of the things that matter most to whoever is listening and watching right now. Like, I have been around some amazing millionaires. Mm. Who have lost it all. And I've been around some amazing millionaires who have done their work and who have reached higher levels. And Ray, that's you.
Mm, thank you.
And it's an absolute pleasure to have you on here. You are such a beacon of hope. So thank you for being fully transparent, fully open, raw, real, and honest here. It's just gorgeous. I've got a question. There are going to be people sitting here right now who are maybe potentially a little bit devil's advocate-like, or a little bit from the yeah, but energy, and it's non-ideal. You and I both know that. However, if a person has been programmed for long enough that they're a useless piece of crap, and they're hearing this, and they've got that glimmer of hope, and let's just say that the fire is just, or there's some smoke starting, or the fire is just starting for them, what might be the right next thing for them to do over the next week to build up, week or month or whatever, to build up some momentum towards being solid from an inner standpoint, along the lines of what we're talking about right now? What might be some tools, system, structure for them to have?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a quick story of someone who did that. And mm-hmm. And so, you know, we did two seasons of a reality show. And, you know, we had a couple talks with some big networks that never got picked up. It's on YouTube, so check it out. But it's called Play to Win, and it was very transformational for me, for sure, and also many of the contestants. One of the contestants, so we had people come from all over the world, and they were competing for a job with us. And so one of the contestants, her name's Renee Adams, she came up to me during the filming, and she said, you know, hey, I've never shared my story. I don't think she'd ever done a video. She had never publicly spoke or anything, but she'd been through some stuff. She had been through severely sexually abused through foster care. She even had she was even trafficked. And so like worst of the worst, you can't imagine worse than what she went through. And she had never, you know, she had never shared that, you know, she had grown up to, you know, to be a professional and, you know, do her best, but she's, you know, hanging on by a thread, you know, because of all the different stuff that she's gone through. And I said, listen, you know, you have the opportunity to impact a lot of people. You know, you can take your story, you help the person you used to be. How many people have been through the, you know, part of what you've been through, and they don't know if they can continue on. And if only they heard your story, they'd be inspired. Mm-hmm. And so I share that kind of stuff with, you know, people fairly often. Sometimes they do something, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. Next month, she was speaking at a women's abuse center. Now, she had never spoke. She was not a speaker. She was never on video. She spoke at a women's abuse center. She did that over and over and over and over. And then I think it was about 2, maybe 3 years ago now. 3 years ago, she spoke at the International Conference Against Human Trafficking in front of 17,000 people, 19 countries. And they asked her back for a second year. So she's spoken there now 2 years in a row, impacting tens of thousands of people. And she, although I don't know her exact age, but I'm going to guess late 40s, maybe 50s. Sorry, Renee. And, you know, here she went from never shared her story up until, let's say, you know, mid 40s minimum, to all of a sudden her story has now inspired tens of thousands of people, tons of money in donations, and has helped so many people. And so it's never too late. And you know, if you take the stance of help the person you used to be, help the person you're one step ahead of. You know, and so, you know, maybe you need 100, you want to lose 100 pounds, but you've lost 10. Help the person that needs to lose 10, right? Maybe you just got out of a bad relationship. Help the person that needs advice around that. So help the person you once were, help the person you used to be is, and that's how you're going to gain back some of your self-worth. It's how you're going to feel better about yourself. And it's something that drives me.
Dude. This is potent. This is gold. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is like a $50,000,000 personal development course in how long are we becoming? 53 minutes. So I truly hope that this has been transformational to the people who are listening, to the people who are watching. I want to round out right now with a couple of stupid questions, stupid fun questions. Are you good for that?
Sure.
Okay. These are designed, honestly, for you to just like, these are rapid fire. Let's just go for this and we'll have some fun here. What was your very first job?
My first job, I was 12 years old, and I was making cabinets.
Nice. And who has most positively impacted your life?
Who's most positively impacted my life? I mean, I know this may not be what you're looking for, but I would say my wife. My wife has, she was with me when I was dead broke, and she has been my strong, you know, a good woman will challenge you. And so, she has always been there to challenge me in ways to become the greatest version of myself.
Yeah. And that's how, like, that takes a courageous woman, like a courageous person. Wow, that's incredible. So by the way, I'm not looking for any, there's no perfect answer. You can say whatever you want. I was actually going to say when I asked, you know, who has most positively impacted your life, I would say maybe you, because you made some pretty bloody good decisions for yourself and your family and your wife and all that sort of good stuff. And the incredible people that you've been able to help as a result of your business, but definitely like your wife. Wow. That's incredible. It's amazing. What was your favorite childhood book?
That's I don't mean to be weird. I was forced to read books, so I don't know that I had one I really enjoyed, to be honest.
Dude, it's okay. Like I don't enjoy reading either. So you're not even weird at all. So let's finish this out by bringing the energy up here. if you had a million, because I'm like, whoa, that one went, let's bring it up. Actually, we're going to do two. We're going to finish up with two here. So the very last one here is, what is your secret indulgence?
Secret indulgent. I love dark chocolate cashews.
Nice. Okay, final question here, my friend. I think I may know the answer to this, but I kind of love that I'm going to ask it anyway. You have $1 million. It's in your hands. You have to give it away. You absolutely have to give it away. Who do you give it away to and why?
Okay. And I mean, I have to give it away. It has to be a charitable act or
no,
whatever.
There's no rules other than you've got $1 million to give away. Who do you give it away to and why?
So I have a couple of charities that I would, you know, we would build that hazard house that I've been wanting to do here locally. So we would do that. There would be some left over and I would love to maybe run some kind of contest or something where up and coming entrepreneurs vie for that money. And so they come up with a pitch, like a Shark Tank kind of thing, I guess. And we award those that we like the best ideas.
That is absolutely amazing. Dude, where do people find out about the amazing Ray Hickton?
I mean, I'm on most social medias. I post some fun stuff on Instagram. So at Ray Hickton is on most social medias.
Nice. That is amazing. So what would be one final thing that you would love, that you feel called to say to the people listening and watching right now? What would be one final words?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know that no matter where you are, you can create a life that you love. You really can. And that may be hard to believe. I never believed that that I would have the kind of life that I have right now. I part of me knew that I would be successful because most of my life I was a workaholic and super consistent. And so I knew that I would be successful, but I didn't think I would be successful and happy. Mm-hmm. And you can get there. Your emotions are the key. They do not own you. You can learn to master them. It's not an easy process, but the key is awareness and defiance. And so know that you can create the life that you love.
You are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for rocking it out with me here. It's been an absolute joy to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other ifs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.